Hey everybody, Stephen here from The Truth About Dyslexia. In today's episode, I want to talk about this feeling of looking stupid. You know, it sounds like a thought, but you know that gut feeling when you don't say something because you feel you might look a bit silly or dumb, or insert the word that goes through your mind or the picture, because it's kind of this feeling that you know, when it comes over you, it completely changes how you operate in life. And I feel it's very similar for many people with neurodiversity, especially dyslexia and ADHD. And I just wanted to share some thoughts around it, what I've experienced, how it shows up in my life to this day, and how I deal with it. So let's dive into this episode. Okay, let's dive into this one. Why did this come up today is the question I usually try and start these podcasts with, because there's usually some sort of aha, some trigger or something that's appeared in my life that's made this relevant and kind of added fuel to this fire. And what it basically was for me is on Sunday, I went for a walk with my wife and we were talking about the year so far, how, wow, there's only like the end of August, there's only 4 months to go. Which seems crazy, 2/3 of the way through the year. It's been such a big year. Our goals for this year are going really well. But we had also talked about traveling to Europe next year around June. And we talked about that, and kind of there's a wedding over there that we would love to go to. But in the pit of my stomach, I had this fear. I have this real worry that, hey, you know, if we look at the world, there's a lot of challenges on. You know, we're just about to move into a brand new house at the end of this year, and trying to set up a new home. We are both going through a few transitions in our careers about what we're doing for work, and you know, they're all good transitions, but it's all very full on. You know, when you have all these things around you that have to happen. And they're eating up brain space and emotional space. Like, those are huge things, right? Career and where you live. And like, we're so excited about all of the stuff that's happening, but we're very reliant on the real world, should I say, to come to us. So the builders have to finish building the house, right? For careers, there's different milestones that we have to get through to have more clarity and certainty on where we are going. Okay, so this plan to go to Europe next year is something we'd love to do, but it's going to cost a lot of money. You know, we're in New Zealand. Just to fly to London is basically 24 hours in an airplane. And the cost of that is expensive. There's a huge amount of cost to do it well. If we go for 3 or 4 weeks, if we're transitioning through work, all of this stuff was going through my head and my emotions. And there was a part of me saying to myself, maybe not directly, I'm stupid, but you know, come on, Stephen, you can do this. Like, just do it for your wife. Don't say anything. Just act strong. Act like that male strongness thing. And again, like, I used to think it was a male thing. I don't think it is. Women go through this as well. It's more of an overthinking piece where we get stuck in our heads and we don't express things. You know, I didn't want my wife to think, hey, oh, he doesn't believe we can make this work, or you know, he doesn't think he can juggle all these things. So there's this internal conversation with myself, and it's not like I'm saying this to myself out loud or even verbally in my head, but there's a feeling of that in my gut. I'm not good enough. This is, you know, all this stuff is happening. And you know, it was basically leading me to not tell my wife how I'm feeling. And I was, and at one moment there, I was like, why am I not sharing my truth about this? Why am I not sharing it? And you know, it comes back from this, you know, this childhood of when I said something out loud, when I did have this complete trust in the world about sharing ideas and thoughts that sometimes were wrong, that someone would come back to me and say, that's wrong, you're stupid, or you're an idiot, or laugh, or not even say those words, but just laugh in a way that allowed me to interpret that story as, I shouldn't have spoken up. I'm not right. I don't know what I'm talking about. And I could see this pattern coming up again And my wife is the most awesome person, love her dearly. She accepts anything I say, however crazy it is. She knew what she was marrying. She knew what she was getting on the box. But for me, this was all playing out inside me as a person. And so we're on this walk and, you know, I want to say I built up the courage, but I guess what I did was I recognized this pattern of me telling myself, you know, you can't share this truth, like you will look X, you fill in the expletive. As I say, I'm not saying this, but there's this gut feeling that's wrenching up around when I think about telling her, because I feel like I'm going to let her down. I'm not good enough. You know, I'm stupid. How can I, you know, all this stuff. And whatever the negative self-talk is in life, like it's a kind of a culmination of all these things. And so I say to her, I go, honey, we've got so much going on the rest of this year. I'm really struggling to commit to Europe. I just don't feel it. I feel like, you know, that money may be better spent on doing stuff to the house when we get it to make sure it's ours. And I'm scared of going away for 3 or 4 weeks in such a busy year next year with so many moving objects. I might be fine with it, I might not, but I've got so many pieces in my head at the moment. I just don't feel I can fully commit my energy to it. And thus, because of that, I don't want to commit to it at all at this moment. And like when I said that, it was a weight off my shoulders and it felt great to tell her. And she came back and said, hey, I feel kind of the same. There is so much going on. We've got so much moving around. It is hard to commit, although I'd love to be there. You know, and we had this really great conversation, both of us letting out something we needed to share, but was hard to share. Because and there's a part of you that really wants something, but the kind of cost, economies of scale is the wrong word, but the kind of cost of it is too high emotionally, energetically, not even just financially, but just, you know, it's quite high in mental energy. You know, it can be really hard to, you know, to do it because like you want to be able to do everything, right? It's usually what I see that many dyslexics get stuck on is we overcommit to all these things we want to do, or we want to help people, or we want to be liked, and then we back ourselves into these corners of our own making that make us feel even more stupid because we know we've built this thing, but it's actually our brains have not completely understood the time factors or the input required, so we kind of promise 400% input when we've only got 100%, and even at our full dyslexic capacity, we're running at 150%, you know, we can't do it. So we back ourselves into these painful corners, which reinforce this feeling of being stupid. And, you know, we kind of blame ourselves, right? And so by me sharing this with my wife, I actually took away this massive commitment in my head. Now, does this mean we're not going to go to Europe? I don't know if it does or not. Like, we might still go, but by sharing that and doing it in a way where I said, hey, this is not about me being stupid or a baby or whatever phrasing was in my head or whatever feeling in my gut, this, and I'd probably not good enough is probably the feeling more than anything, but this feeling of not being able, by me sharing it, it was great. We both let out this energy. We cleared the air. It took that out of my head. So I'm not saying no, I'm not saying yes, but we're not going to worry about it until next year. And if we don't go, we're both okay with that as well. We'll send them a really nice wedding present. You know, so being able to share that and not let that fear in my gut of feeling stupid, not good enough, that my opinion doesn't matter, was massive. It's taken a big weight off my shoulders that didn't need to be there. And when I'm only overthinking it in my head and not releasing it, it just creates more and more pain and anxiety that builds up and up and up. I'm not sure if you've experienced something similar. I'm probably sure probably most of the world has. I just feel with us with neurodiversity, these challenges just seem to mount more and more and more. And the way we deal with them is not always the best. We don't always have the natural tools pre-built. And that's kind of where I see dyslexia a lot of the time is, you know, our tools are different. We've got higher powers and creativity, spatial thinking, very quick at finding patterns and gluing two and two together. But in some of these simpler things, we just don't have as much RAM in that kind of, in those programs, right? And so By me seeing that in my life and making that shift, not only does that reinforce, hey, that story I've been telling myself about, you know, not being good enough, being stupid, is actually a lie. There's nothing to do with that. I can share this stuff. And I think, you know, a few points came out of this is one, if you do find yourself feeling a bit stupid, ask yourself, where is that pattern coming from? Where in the past has that been reinforced? Okay, so where are you seeing that happening? I did a big piece ages ago. I did a podcast on this where I had a teacher at school when I didn't say an answer, but once the teacher said the answer, I said, oh, I knew that. And I said it really loudly for whatever reason. And the teacher said, no, you didn't. And that one statement, which he wouldn't have even taken a second thought on, completely shifted my emotional state in that moment because other kids laughed and completely, you know, shot me. And like I lived with that for a long time until I did some work with it using kind of visualization and emotional movement to change the story in my head about that moment. I used to think it was him ganging up on me and he was the teacher, his was the truth. And then I did some work visually to change that story and say, actually, he had just broken up with his wife that morning. He had had a really bad year. He had been done for, you know, gambling debts. Or, you know, I'd made up this real meticulous story. Because to be honest, whatever story you make up in your head is real. Of your past, most of those stories are not actually correct. You know, they've proven this with police, you know, talking to witnesses of events for police. The amount of things that people get wrong from their memory is ridiculous. So you may as well create memories in your past that benefit you rather than take away from you. And again, I've really touched on that quickly. There are other podcasts I've done on this, but it's, you know, it's really important with this fear, you know, and, you know, coming back to the point of this podcast about feeling stupid and how that can actually define your experience of life. You know, it is how you choose to show up in this world and how you choose to remind yourself you're not stupid, your opinions do matter, and that's okay. You're not always going to get it right. The result's not always going to be right, but as long as you balance the intention being correct, you're going to have a better life. Those moments of bravery, build them up in your life if you have them. Take a moment, breathe in, and remind yourself at those points, look at me, look what I did. Could be at work, could be in a relationship. And this doesn't mean to go off on a tangent and, you know, go mad or anything, but, you know, speak your truth. If it's true to you, speak it out loud to someone. It will matter. It will help you reinforce it, and it'll help you stop feeling stupid. Hopefully you enjoyed that podcast, guys. I'll be back in a couple of days. Have an epic rest of your day.